Good morning. Y'all are having such a good time, I hate to bust it up, but if you want to get out of here by lunchtime, you probably ought to take a seat. Hey, I waited on you. No, we really don't have a time set around here. I really like the meet and the greet and seeing everybody visiting and laughing and hugging and shaking hands. I hope you introduced yourselves to our visitors. We started 2 weeks ago in the book of 1 Corinthians. Remember, we talked about God had to remind the church of Corinth that this was God's church, not theirs. And we need to be reminded of that sometimes. I think it would change the way we do things sometimes. Then we talked about the message of the cross. And we talked about how even in Paul's day, the Greek philosophers thought it was foolish. The Jews thought it a stumbling block. But Paul said to the Jews and the Greeks who believed it and who were being saved that the cross of Christ is the power of God for salvation. And today I want to talk about the mind of Christ. Paul today talks about the wisdom that God imparts to his people. The text is out of 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16. We'll go ahead and read the text before we get started. Paul said, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Father, I thank you for your word. I know that it's truth. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that you have sent to dwell within your people, who is the Spirit of truth and who teaches us the truth. I thank you for those who were able to come out this morning to worship you. And I pray, Lord, that I will decrease, that you will increase, and that you will speak to us through your word and show us how it pertains to us today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we saw last week, the Jews considered the gospel a stumbling block because anyone who was hanged on a tree, according to the book of Deuteronomy, was cursed by God. So they said, therefore, Jesus could not be our Messiah, the chosen one of God, because he died upon a tree. The Greeks thought it was foolishness because to them it would be impossible for God to become a man and to die for the sins of his people, because they taught that the gods were aloof and uncaring and that they didn't feel emotions the way you and I did. So to them that was foolishness to believe such a thing. So the message was a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. They believed only a fool could believe such a story, Jews and Greeks both that didn't believe. In today's text, Paul explains that God will impart wisdom to the mature Christian, but not the wisdom of this world, because God has deemed that as foolish. You have to make a choice if you want to follow Christ, what side you're going to stand on. You're either going to be a fool in the world's eyes and accept the wisdom that God gives, or you're going to be wise in the world's eyes and be a fool in God's eyes. I'd rather be a fool for Christ. Okay? I'm not affected by if the world thinks I'm foolish and I'm uneducated and, you know, I just don't understand. That doesn't bother me. I feel like Paul, I'm a fool for Christ. Let me be a fool for Christ. And the Greeks, Paul said, they sought after wisdom. So a lot of the Greeks were rejecting the gospel based on what they considered to be wise. And you remember in Corinth, false teachers had come in. Paul called them super apostles. And many of them were trained speakers. And the Greeks liked that. And they were trying to lead the people back down a path they didn't need to go down. You know, they questioned Paul's apostleship, his call to be an apostle. And they said, well, his letters are weighty and powerful, but in his presence, he's kind of contemptible. You know, he's kind of weak. And so the Greeks told the Greek Christians they had a special knowledge to share with them, a wisdom. Later became known as Gnosticism. And Paul's saying, wait a minute, God does give wisdom to his people. It's just not the wisdom that you call wisdom to the Greeks. And in order to do that, he said he's given us the Holy Spirit, whom Paul also refers to as the mind of Christ. He said, among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not of wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. Paul said very plainly, the wisdom of this world is going to pass away with the world. When this world burns, it'll burn with it. The Word of God will stand forever. Yeah, the Word of God will stand forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words won't. So that gives us a sure foundation, church, that we can stand on the Word of God and trust that it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Even though it contradicts much of the world ideology, that tells me the world's wrong. That's what I'm convinced of. I had a lady tell me one time that I was very narrow-minded, and I said, I can afford to be, I'm right. And I didn't mean that in arrogance. I told her I believe the Word of God is the truth. And she said, well, men wrote it, you know, so there's mistakes in it. No, I don't think there's any mistakes in it. I think it's the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. We're the ones that muddy the waters. We try to make Scripture say what they're not saying. But Paul said, we do impart a secret wisdom to people. You remember the Gnostics were telling people, this is secret knowledge. This is secret wisdom. We dreamed this, or God told us this, and we're sharing it with you for a price. Paul said, no, we impart a secret wisdom. It's secret to the world. It's foolishness to them. But God wants to impart wisdom to his people. I've met Christians that have been Christians for 40, 50 years that spiritually, I believe, they still walk around with their thumb in their mouth and holding a blanket. They're babies. And that's not where God intends for us to be. That's where we're comfortable with being. I had a lady in one church tell me, just give me enough to get saved. Give me enough to get to heaven. Don't try to confuse me, teaching me all this other stuff. Just give me enough to get to heaven. That's not a good attitude. Because there's a lot of lying voices and deceptive voices out there now teaching in the name of Jesus Christ who are not teaching the Word. They are teaching a worldview. A very strong worldview, and they're calling it Christianity. They throw a few Christian terms in there, maybe tell you, see, we are Christians, but if you listen to what they're saying, there's nothing Christian about it. So Paul is assuring these Greek Christians, some of them are starting to stray back into the old life. He's saying, look, we do share wisdom with you, but it's God's wisdom, not the world's. There was a songwriter who wrote a song that talked about, why are you searching for the light in the dark? And I like that line. I never forgot that. He said, sometimes we're so proud of saying we're seeking the light, but he said, you don't want to go into the dark to look for the light because it's not there. Paul said, we're imparting a secret wisdom to you, and this is done through the Holy Spirit. Now, there were two distinct types of teaching in early Christianity. Don read an example of the first one this morning that's called kerygma. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not. But this literally interpreted, it means a herald's announcement of a king. So it's a plain pronouncement of the basic teachings of the gospel. That's what you heard in the text Don read. Peter was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't have it in front of him. The people in the crowd didn't have a copy of the outline, sermon outline. Peter preached the gospel directly to them. That was called kerygma. That was the basic doctrines of Christianity, and it was verbally taught, orally taught. The second is called didact. Jesus was very famous for didact teaching. He used a lot of examples. And in didact teaching, that literally means to be taught. That's where they would explain the doctrines of Christianity, the whys. So they heard the gospel, they believed it, and then they entered into a period where they were taught about the gospel. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Why did he have to shed his blood? As I said, the Jews said, that's stupid. God's chosen one can't die cursed on a tree. But we read that he took the curse of the law that was on us and took it upon himself. Jesus didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve to die on a cross. He was sinless. But he did it in order that you and I could be forgiven and reconciled. And the Greeks said, well, God doesn't care. So you're telling me that God became a man who actually cares for us and he died for our sins because he loves us. That's foolishness to us. But we got this secret wisdom God gave us. We'll be glad to teach you. So this is what Paul's dealing with in the church. People are being pulled into false doctrine and Paul's trying to pull them back in. As I said at first, he reminded them this is God's church, not yours. God did everything he could to save you. You didn't do anything to earn it. So you're redeemed. You've been bought back and you're God's people. And this is God's church. And now he's saying God does teach us wisdom. As I said, the didactic teaching was where they went more into depth. That's why we're commanded to be in church. I don't know how many times over the years, especially since I went into ministry and people find out I'm a minister, they want to come and say, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't. Well, I just believe that I can be a Christian at home. I don't have to go to church. Well, the book of Hebrews says we're not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. That tells me God says, I want you in church. Does it not? This means yes and this means no. I don't want to commit to that because I'm not always going to church. Part of the reason you go to church is to be instructed to worship. Now, I'm not saying that I got it all figured out. God will instruct you, but that's part of my call. I pick these texts and I hope the Lord's leading me. And I share with you, I don't think I'm any smarter than you, but I have the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. I don't know how many times over the years God has kept me out of false teaching because of the Spirit of Christ that lives in me. Because he'll say, no, that's not me. That's not right. So part of the reason you come to church, we come here collectively to worship with people that we have something in common with. You're out in the world all week and you're out around a bunch of unbelieving people. You know, they don't care about God. They don't agree with God. They don't agree with Christianity. You're out there among that all week. And then we come here to worship together to be with people that we have something in common with. Jesus Christ. Well, that's what we have in common, Jesus Christ. And part of my call is to share the scriptures with you, hopefully to teach, you know, to give you a lot of what my opinion is. Any minister says he doesn't preach his opinions a liar. Because we all got opinions, like armpits, and they usually stink. But we all got them, okay? You can't keep your opinion out of this. But what I'm saying is we come here hopefully to learn. You know, God wants to impart wisdom to us. So he tells us we need to be in church. And when people tell me, I don't have to be in church to be a Christian, I say to them, but the Bible commands us to be in church. So that's between you and him. I'm not going to argue with you about it. There's days I'd rather be fishing than be up here in the pulpit, and I'm just being honest with you. There's days I come into this church and I say, God, I don't want to be here. I'm in a bad mood. Don't feel like teaching. I want to go crappie fishing or something like, you know, something like it. Let's have church on the lake bank. Yeah, I had a professor suggested that one time. He said, hey, why don't you have a meeting at Bull Shoals Lake on a Sunday? Go down there on a Sunday and have church service on the docks. Said, well, we could. I know I got sidetracked. Forgive me. Paul, when he talked to the church at Corinth, he reminded them that he didn't come with eloquent speech and clever ideas and examples. He said, when I came to you, brothers, I didn't come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Now, they like that. Apollos was a favored speaker among the Greeks because he was eloquent in what he said. And Paul said, I wasn't. He said, I didn't come to you with lofty speech or lofty wisdom. Paul said, I wasn't trying to impress you with my speaking abilities. He said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul said, I came and preached the gospel in the power of the Spirit, and you believed. And Paul said, I did that on purpose. I didn't want you looking up to me, thinking that I was some wise man, well-educated, which Paul was. He said, I determined I wasn't going to talk about anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. As we grow in Christ, there comes a time to move on from the elementary principles of the Christian doctrine. The writer of Hebrews said that. Said, we're going to move on. We're not going to lay again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, of baptism, laying on of hands. He said, we've talked about that enough. The writer of Hebrews said that. He said, we're going to move on. And there comes a time, Christian, that we have to move on. I'm not saying that we neglect to preach the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes that's where our comfort zone is. We like to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it should mean something to us. And we should be able to share that with other people, especially if we're asked. Peter said to be ready to give an answer to those who ask us. But these facts, these teachings are spiritually discerned. The Bible is a spiritually discerned book. Apart from the Spirit, you're not going to understand it. A young man in a church I was in once came and told me he'd read this article about this new coding system they had come up with, and it was how to understand the Bible to understand this code. And it was legitimate. He said, is that true? I said, no. I said, what that is man's attempt to say, hey, we figured out how to understand this book. We come up with this numerical code. And if you understand our code, you can understand the book. And I told him, the Bible says the Bible is spiritually discerned. Paul said it. When he said the natural man won't receive it, the natural literally means fleshly. It's a person without the Holy Spirit. Paul said it seems like foolishness to him. He won't understand it. But people will say, well, we figured this out and we've developed this style of teaching or this code, as this young man. We figured out how we're going to understand the Word of God. And the whole time, God's going, no, you'll understand it when my Spirit's in you and I explain it to you. I believe that. You don't have to have a Bible college degree to understand the Scriptures. But you have to have the Spirit of Christ in you to understand the Scriptures. You have to have Spirit-filled teachers in order to help you understand the Scriptures. Is this God's church? Pretty weak, yeah. Oh, thank you. Amen. There you go. Yeah. I'm not looking for amen, but hey, it's okay to answer my question. It wasn't rhetorical. Is this God's church? Yes. Then what are we supposed to be about? God's business. Does God equip us to be about his business? Yes. What kind of God would say, well, now that you're my child, just do the best you can. Try to figure me out, although you can't figure me out. That wouldn't be right. What's Paul say? God will impart wisdom to the mature. It's on a need-to-know basis. I've been reading this book 42 years, and sometimes I'll read a passage. I don't know how many times I've read, and I'll go, oh, I never saw that. And I believe that's the Spirit of God going, now you need to know. This is what this means. This is how this applies to your life. That's wisdom. And that's why I say I'm okay with the world saying, well, he's an idiot. He's a fool. He's archaic. He has old-fashioned values. Who goes by that anymore? Me. I'll admit it. I'm a fool for Jesus Christ. The wisdom of this world doesn't mean anything to me. I have met men that have PhDs in theology, and I've talked with them, and I thought PhD on their case meant, think harder, dummy. You think you got the word understood, but you don't. You're trying to do it with this educated mind and not through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which he has promised to us. Do you believe that? That's weak, yeah. What'd Paul say? Who knows the thoughts of a person except the Spirit? If I could take your spirit, develop a way to take your spirit and put it in me so I could know your innermost thoughts, would that make you uncomfortable? It would me. If you could take my spirit and put it in you, I'd be like, no, there's things about me my spirit knows. Nobody else does. Yeah, amen. And that's what Paul's saying about the Holy Spirit. He knows things you don't. He knows the deep things of God, and the amazing thing to me is that this holy God says, I want you to know me. I'm going to put my heart in you. That's what he's saying. You remember what John testified about Jesus? No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who came from his side, has made him known to us. And the Greek there, came from his side, is also translated, came from his heart, came from his bosom. Jesus verified that later when he was preaching, and he said, no one can know the Father but me and those to whom I choose to reveal him. He was talking to a group of people who thought they knew God. They thought they had God all figured out. And Jesus said, no, you know about him, but you don't know him. There's a big difference in that. You can know about somebody and not know the person, or you can know the person. And God invites us to know him. And I've told you before, that word to know in the Greek, it's intimacy. God doesn't want us just to know about him, church. He wants us to know him. Yeah, that's what he wants. And Paul said he has done that through the Spirit that he has placed within us. The Spirit of Christ. Peter said that the old prophets prophesied by the Spirit of Christ. Paul calls him the mind of Christ because he knows the deep, intimate thoughts. And God will share those with us. That is amazing to me. That God would look at somebody like me from my background and my past and say, I want you to know me. You know, yeah, you was a boogerhead times past, but you're my kid now, and I want you to know me. I want you to know me. How much do you want to know him? You can determine that by where do you spend your time. You spend more time in front of the television, soaking up the world ideologies. Do you spend time in the Word? That's another way God speaks to you. I first came to this church, and they asked me to start teaching. I remember one class I did, and I said, the Lord said to me, and I saw everybody go, oh, did he just say the Lord said to him? And the pastor then, I went to him, and I said, did I do something wrong? He goes, well, we've been taught mostly as cult guys that say God spoke to them. And he said, that kind of scares us when somebody says God spoke to him. I said, you know what scares me? That he doesn't talk to you. That scares me. Do I want to be here if God's not talking to you? Now, God will never say anything that contradicts his word, church. But he will speak to you through the word. I'm not talking about the burning bush or an audible voice coming out of the wall, but I'm saying that you can be reading God's word and the Spirit of God will take a text and he will open your eyes to it and you'll go, wow, I never saw that before. Wow, that's just what I needed. It's not just for preachers, church. This message that Paul was sharing with the church, it wasn't just for Paul and the other apostles. This is the new dispensation when God said, I will place my Spirit in them and I will be their God and they will be my people. I'm glad that God imparts his wisdom to us, because on our own, we don't do too well. At least I don't. In the 17th chapter of John, Jesus prayed a prayer and he made a promise to his church. He said that he came to give us eternal life. And then he defined eternal life as to know you, the only true God. We talk about eternal life, you know. Do you want to live forever? Everybody's going to live forever, my understanding of the scriptures. People in the lake of fire will live there forever and ever and ever and ever. People in the kingdom of heaven are going to live forever and ever and ever. But Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you know God. And he said, that's why I've come here, so they can know you. Let me go ahead and finish reading this text to you. He said, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and I. So now he's talking ahead about his church. That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are. Do you know God wants his church to be unified? I was preaching at one time, and I had an elder come to me and say, we're sick and tired of you talking about unity. You need to move on. Sick and tired of unity. Okay. God wants us to be unified. Does that mean we'll agree on everything? No. But this we do agree on. We're here to glorify Jesus Christ. Not Mansfield Christian Church. Not the preacher. Not you. Not the elders. Not the deacons. We're here to glorify Jesus Christ. And Jesus is praying this just before he goes to the cross. And he says, I want them to be one, just like you and I are one. How's that done? Through God imparting his wisdom through the Holy Spirit, through his word. You have to be in agreement in order to be one with him. He said, I want them to be perfectly one so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. He's getting a room ready. He told us that. He said, I'm going to go get a room ready. Then I'm going to come back and get you. And he said, the ones you've given to me, I want them to be where I am. I want them to see my glory because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Now, I love that promise, if you caught that. Jesus said, I have made you known to these guys, and I'm going to keep doing it. Is there a time limit on that? No. As long as the church is on the earth, Jesus has promised, I'm going to keep making God known to you. If you want to know. If you really want to know. It's been my experience over the years. There's some things that the Lord's revealed to me. It's been kind of tough. It's like, oh, wow, really? But I'm assured of it. Of the truth. It'd be easier for us as a church to go with the world. Be less tension. If we just get along with the world. But I've told you before, we're not called to get along with the world. And I mean, when it comes to the truth of Scripture, we don't capitulate. We're not called to do that. We're called to share the Word of God and to live the life that God's called us to live. And God empowers us to do that through the person of the Spirit. When I first came back into the Restoration Church, it almost seemed like if you talked about the Holy Spirit, that was scary. Oh, he's getting into that charismaniac stuff, signs and wonders. No, I'm not. Jesus didn't preach about signs and wonders. He said, be careful of it. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will teach you the truth. Not signs and wonders and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Too many people want to glorify the Holy Spirit by talking about the gifts all the time and glorifying the gifts, and that grieves God because he didn't come here to glorify himself. He came here to glorify Jesus Christ. He came here to instruct you and I about our Lord Jesus Christ, to bring us to an intimate relationship with him. And this is the wisdom that he imparts to us. I want to know God. I don't know how you feel, but I want to know him. I don't want to know about him. I want to know him. I want to have a relationship, an intimate acquaintance with him. And it's inexhaustible. I don't even believe in eternity in the kingdom of heaven that we'll come to know everything we need to know about God or could know, because I think he's that inexhaustible. He's that deep. I think that's one reason there'll be so much rejoicing in heaven, is because Paul said we will know as we are known, and it'll be free and open, and God will say, now I can answer questions. Now I can share things with you I couldn't share before. Why did this happen in my life? God will say, right here, here's why it had to happen. If it hadn't happened, you might have went this way. I was talking to a young lady just the other day, and she said, I need to vent. And boy, she vented. I mean, she just unloaded, and about how frustrated she was and the things she's going through and suffering as a Christian. And I said, Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. That's a wisdom God imparted to me. When we suffer, it's not because God's necessarily mad or trying to punish us. He's teaching us. And I said, that's how he teaches. So I said, you're in the desert now, but you're going to come out. We all go through the desert. And when we're in the desert, that's where we're the most teachable, I think. When I'm going through some of the hardest times, sometimes that's when I'm the most teachable. God has my attention. Why? Because I'm going, God, why is this going on? What's going on, God? What are you doing? Oh, okay. I can tell you why. Sometimes he doesn't. But I trust him. I know he knows what he's doing. I know that he's molded me into the image of Jesus Christ. I know that he's given me a job to do while I'm on this earth. And he doesn't expect me to do it on my own, thank God. I fried most of my brain cells in the 70s. You know, I'm glad God through the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to speak through you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to explain the word to you. Paul said that this secret wisdom is the fact that Jesus Christ wants to reveal the Father to us, that the Father wants to reveal the Word to us, and that this is done through the indwelling of the blessed Holy Spirit. Paul said these are secret things. The world won't receive it. He said these are the things God has revealed to us through His Spirit. God desires an intimacy with His people, and it can only be reached through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says, we haven't received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. Did you catch that? God wants us to understand the things that he's given to us. That's accomplished through the indwelling Spirit. He said, who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. What a God. A holy, righteous, just God will put his Spirit within us who are unrighteous, unjust, unholy, because we have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he wants to instruct us. He wants to raise us up and mold us into the image of his Son. And that should be our desires. Just be the best that we can be for God while we're here by doing whatever he's called us to do. And not everybody's called to preach or teach. But there's no call that's insignificant in the body of Christ. No person in the body of Christ is insignificant. We all come together. We work together as the body of Christ. It's up to you to seek God's face and say, what do you want me to do? And then respond in obedience to his voice and say, yes, that's what I'll do. And as Paul said, God will impart wisdom to you on a need-to-know basis through the person of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to leave us in the dark. He's not going to leave us in confusion. If we're confused, it's our doing. Would you stand with me this morning? Do you believe in the person of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in the Father and the Son? Do you believe that Jesus said that they all will come and live within us, make their home within us? Yeah. Well, I don't believe in the Trinity. That's all right. Trinity's not in the Bible. Nope. Father, Son, Holy Ghost is all over the Bible. Paul said God promises to impart wisdom to us. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally without upbraiding, and God will give it. Do you believe that? Okay. That's one of the first things I prayed when I became a Christian. I read the book of James for some reason. And I said, boy, God, if anybody needs wisdom, I do. That takes humility on our part, church, just to say, I don't have this figured out. I thought I did, but I don't. But you teach me your word. That's what God wants to do. He wants you and I to know him intimately, to be personally involved with him, not just know about him.